Hey kids, it's Howdy Doody time.
No, it's not.
That's a different show.
Yes.
From many, many years
way back
ago. Yes. Welcome to Dance Fever, and thanks for listening in, guys. Three new shows this week to talk about, all from the week of, I don't know, the 24th through the 29th, it looks like thereabouts, something like that. We'll start off with Roller Jam, our newest addition to the lineup. Episode 3, the, I don't know, battle episode, if you will. Jordan Sparks, singer, is that what
mm-hmm,
she is?
Mm-hmm.
Is our host.
Yes.
Or S, which, yeah, however you're supposed to do it. Johnny Weir and Terrell Ferguson are our returning judges. Our guest judge gives a slight hint, if you know who this is, to what the decade is going to be that DJ Ari Spins is spinning for us. The guest judge this week is Maureen McCormick, and she is from...
The Brady Bunch.
The Brady Bunch. She was which sister?
Marsha.
Yes. So, the 70s is our decade. And I believe, to a group, they were happy to have 70s jams.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know every roller skating rink I have ever been to, they played 70s
yes.
jams. Now, they play more contemporary stuff. I don't roller skate, but sometimes it just seems that the vibe is just maybe off, even with some of the jammier songs from more recent. But it seems to me that nothing jams quite like a disco tune. It's
true.
It's got its own
true.
Jam to it. So, we have 8 teams left. We have 4 head-to-head battles. The losers all go to the Elimiskate with 1 coming out and 3 going home. So, 8 team enter, 3 team leave in this episode. So that's, I thought that was a little harsh, but
yep.
We'll have to talk to Mama Waco, Texas as to why. And we haven't seen her yet, and I guess she's going to be on the final.
Probably.
Although, if she's a guest judge and represents the decade, she's going to have to be the 2010s, because they've only had a show for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So, first out, the Lone Stars of Texas going up against Disco Oasis. Both of them have a minute 20, I think it is, 80 seconds. And they will be dancing to Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive with some cool scratching in between to mm-hmm. tell the first group that they're done.
It's time for you to get off the floor.
To hold the song really, really well. And then the other group, get ready, get into position, whatever. And then Ari let it go and keep going. I thought that she did a really good job. If she is actually scratching a table,
mm-hmm.
she did a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. Okay. Lone Stars of Texas versus Disco Oasis. Any thoughts about that one?
I like Disco Oasis better. Only because Lone Star, they are our professional-ist kind of people who do competition, like, you know, your skate competitions for like the Olympics, but it's not Olympics because it's not a sport yet.
Right.
But they are very technical and just a couple.
They're more artistic.
Yes.
And they are distinctly two couples rather
yes.
than a foursome.
They don't look like a cohesive group.
A foursome, yeah. I wonder if just a couple could have entered this. I guess not.
I guess not, or they would have.
One or both of them would have tried out,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. Or maybe.
They did, and they said, why don't y'all come together?
Yeah, we can't do two, but we know that there's another couple, and if you guys
mm-hmm.
do a four, we'll put you on through. We'll put you on the show. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think Disco Oasis did a better job
mm-hmm.
in that battle also. So, next up is Hot Wheels versus House of Skate. And that's with an 8. They dance to Chic's La Freak. Good jam and roller song. Not that I Will Survive isn't either, but it's got a different vibe
mm-hmm.
to it. The moves feel different, even though you can probably get away with the same moves. But they feel different
mm-hmm.
between the two songs. And that's funny to sit there and watch them. Some of the moves, you know, that you have 4 groups, somebody is going to duplicate moves.
Yes.
And it feels completely different based on the song that they're doing it to.
I agree.
It's weird. I don't know that the other two shows we talk about that I can necessarily say that. You know, Dancing Moves is a dancing move, and it's, you know, Gauchos. I'm not sure that the music matters. They'll look and feel the same.
I don't know. We complain an awful lot about how a dance would be so much better if it was just played to the right style of music.
And I don't necessarily think that has to do with the movement, but just the overall feel
ambiance
and picture
of the whole thing.
Of it. Yeah, yeah. Hot Wheels, House of Skate. What? Any thoughts?
House
on
of
that
Skate.
One? You like House of Skate better?
Yeah.
Hot Wheels was the three girls that
four.
Live, or four girls. Oh, yeah, no, that's not the one that lives in a park. They went home, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Four girls. Oh, from
Venice.
From L.A., yeah, from mm-hmm. Venice Beach. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I thought House of Skate was better there, too. Honor Roll Skate Crew versus Bad Boy Skate Crew.
We're finally getting into what I picture when somebody tells me there's a skate competition going on.
Dancing to Rose Royce's Car Wash. To me, I envision somebody doing moves to this outside on a court rather than mm-hmm. inside in a just.
That's okay.
The
okay.
car wash. Somebody.
I thought both of them did a very good job. I could not really choose between the two. They both had some good tricks. I really enjoyed the intro for the Honor Skate because they were the car wash. Some of the guys were going around in circles while another guy was being carried in driving his car.
Yeah, he was the car.
I mean, it was cool.
Everybody did come out in outfits, though. Mm-hmm. I like that. Attendance for mm-hmm. a car wash mm-hmm. and whatnot. The Bad Boys, they had the benefit of having an even number of guys.
And they
and
had a
one girl.
So they showed her a lot.
Yeah, so the four guys were the attendants, and the girl was the one that had the car. So that kind of fit in,
mm-hmm.
fortunately, as it is. Those two crews, according to the judges, had the two highest scores of the eight. So I agree. I would think that they agree with what you're saying just mm-hmm. based on that. And the fourth and final group was Skate Shot, with an eight,
mm-hmm.
Versus Skate Gravity. And they danced to That's the Way I Like It by... Why did I not put by?
I don't know.
I know we looked it up because uh-huh. we couldn't remember.
Uh-huh.
And I guess that's all we did.
Uh-huh.
We didn't write it down.
You didn't write it down.
That's the way I like it. Uh-huh, uh-huh. That's uh-huh. How, you guys uh-huh, know that song. Uh-huh. Yeah. What'd you think there?
They were even for me.
Were they?
Yeah. Nobody was as good as
Honor
Skate and Bad Boys. Nobody.
So, after each battle, Jordan took up the scores. So, she knew after each battle. Did she announce it after each battle?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. All right. So, Lone Stars of Texas versus Disco Oasis. I probably shouldn't hit the table there that the mic is sitting on. That mic come to. If that came through, guys, sorry. I'm looking here on Audacity.
He's very impassioned.
And I can't tell. But
He's yeah. very impassioned.
I dig this show. And I badly want it to do well on Cinemax. I don't know how you judge that.
Mm-hmm.
To keep going. I would hope that because it is streaming on Cinemax and it's part of Magnolia, they'll just go ahead and give it like three or four seasons to see if it does good and not just a single season tryout. Mm-hmm. But okay, Lone Stars of Texas versus Disco Oasis. Lone Stars pulled out an 80, Disco Oasis an 84. Second meeting, Hot Wheels versus House of Skate. Hot Wheels pulled an 81 with House of Skate an 85. So there's our new high score, 85.
Mm-hmm.
Third battle, Honor Roll Skate Crew versus Bad Boys Skate Crew. Honor Roll pulled an 86, new high score. Bad Boys pulled an 87, new high score, and that one will stick. Fourth battle, Skate Shot versus Skate Gravity. Skate Gravity with an 85, Skate Shot with an 81. So,
and at this point, I'm like, if Honor Roll Skate doesn't go through, I'm not watching the show anymore.
We were very disappointed because it was
so disappointing. They put the two best ones up against each other, and one of them had to go into the Elimiskate.
Yeah.
And there was only one person, one team coming out of the Elimiskate.
And plus, I don't.
But you know, anybody can fall at any time, and it could have.
And I don't necessarily have a. I don't agree with the way they do this Elimiskate. It's a group competition
mm-hmm.
until the final mm-hmm. battle. And then it's one person. And it's like, well, that's not fair basing everything on one. on just the person they pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that person is going to be the person they picked for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Week over week, it could be a different person that they pick. I don't know if there's any...
repeat yet.
Yeah, if anybody that is in the Elimiscate, and once you throw somebody out, you can't use them again.
I don't know.
Yeah, so in the Elimiscate, we have four teams. They're going to all battle each other one at a time, not head-to-head like our teams. One at a time, they each get 20 seconds. Each crew pulls a person to represent them. I didn't write down who they pulled because they didn't say every time. They the person just comes out. So it's going to be Lone Stars versus Hot Wheels versus Honor Roll Skate Crew versus Skate Shop. And the order, Lone Stars were first, Skate Shop was second, Hot Wheels third, and Honor Roll Skate Crew was fourth and final.
Mm-hmm.
Honor Roll was chosen by the judges as the best of the four, the best individual of the four individuals.
And I agreed.
So that's just because you want them to stay.
No, I agreed that he was the best of the four.
Okay.
Yes.
So going home is Lone Stars, Hot Wheels, and Skate Shop. But more importantly, sticking around for next week, which I don't have any indication yet of next week. I even listened to Miss Fiore's recap show. Let me see what's her first name. Nicole Fiore on YouTube. And she didn't have any foreknowledge the week before because they said it at the end of the show. She knew the four matchups, but nothing about next week. So next week we have five crews. We have three episodes left. I do know that. It's only six episodes. So Disco Oasis, House of Skate, Honor Roll Skate Crew and Bad Boy Skate Crew, the two best groups, and Skate Gravity. So hopefully we don't have to see the two best really go head-to-head anymore.
Yeah.
It'll just be a round robin. Mm-hmm. Everybody will compete. Nobody has really been given any anything they have to incorporate or anything they have to overcome or anything like that. It's just been the only difference has been the style of music. Otherwise, everybody can do whatever they want.
Well, they have given them some critiques, like you need to do more tricks, or you need to be a little more synchronized, or you need to be a little more showy.
Well, but they haven't given them, like, for instance, in our other dance shows, it's a particular dance style they have to do. Or it's a marathon.
There's no Mando.
A marathon dance. Or, you know, all of these other gimmicky kind of things. They do know the music, obviously, so they can choreo to it specifically. But that's it. They know the time they have and they know the music. Use all your people, do whatever you want.
The rest of it's up to you.
Yeah,
wow us.
Just whatever you
need
you
to wow
do.
Us.
Yeah, don't sound like Johnny Weir. He annoys me.
I like him.
Yeah, he's a little too...
No, he's all right.
He's a little too flamboyant.
He's all right. He's just all the way out there.
Okay, so next up is Dancing with the Stars. This is the current season 33, episode 7.
Halloween Nightmare.
What they're calling... I've got it switched here. Yeah, Halloween Nightmares Night.
Mm-hmm. We have Julianne and Alfonso as our hostess and host. And we have Carrie Ann, Derek, and Bruno as our judges. Now, don't forget, when I give out scores, it will be Eddie Lee, Terry Ann, Carrie Ann, Derek, and Bruno. First couple out. Well, first we have a group number that was choreographed by Emma and Gleb. It was good. And they also told us that everybody has to do two dances. They have their couples dance, and then there's a dance-off at the end of the show. And Chandler and Brandon are immune from the dance-off, but they're not immune from being voted off the show.
Right. And the dance-off is head-to-head. It's
head-to-head.
Two couples head-to-head.
On the floor at the same time, dancing
same
the same songs, dancing the same dance.
Yeah.
Their own choreography, but that dance style. And whoever the judges choose gets three extra points.
And the winner for the dance-off got...
I said three
extra points. Yeah. Yeah, each one. I'm sorry.
Shows he doesn't listen to me.
I don't what?
So first out is Alona and Alan doing a tango.
Dancing to Miley Cyrus's rendition of Psycho Killer.
And that was her fear, she said, was like of Psycho Killers, you know, that she doesn't like scary movies.
Yeah, each
that
one,
kind of thing.
The competitor, the star, whatever. Their fear is what was used as the theme for the dance.
So Eddie Lee and I both gave her a 9 because we really enjoyed it. She was the psycho killer, and she ended up killing Alan. So, you know, woohoo.
With a bat with barbed wire mm-hmm. rung around it, yeah.
And the judges all gave her 8s.
Boo.
Boo.
Boo judges.
Boo judges. Next out was Dwight and Daniela doing a contemporary piece, and he said he had no fears, so he wanted to be the fear.
Right. They danced to District 78's version of Ring Around the Rosie.
And we gave him 9s.
It was probably the most intense, a.k.a. freakiest of the dances. He wasn't in a whole lot of makeup. It wasn't anything like that.
He was all in black.
Some others that were much better makeup than mm-hmm. they had. But it was just very early on. And throughout the entire dance, you understood the story. And it was a very discomfortable story.
You understood that he was the fear, and she was the scared little girl.
Trying to escape the fear. Yeah.
And he caught her at the end.
Yeah, so, unfortunately.
Yes. They got a 10 from Carrie Ann and a 9 from the guys.
What'd they get from us?
9s, I said.
Oh.
Before you started talking.
Oh.
Danny, see, I told you.
I'm always talking.
Danny and Whitney did an Argentine tango.
It's a podcast, after all.
Uh-huh.
Dancing to Raven, R-A-V-N's version of Poison, which they butchered. It was a terrible rendition.
Because his fear is of snakes, and she actually had a boa constrictor in the
They didn't use it in the dance, but in the practice room they did. Now,
and
she did have some freaky slitted
contact lenses. And she was the snake.
She was the snake. And the two girls that came out, the poor dude was surrounded by snakes at the beginning of the song. Yeah.
We gave him 8s, and Carrie Ann gave him a 10, which is going to be the consensus of opinion from her for a while. And the boys gave him 9s.
Yeah, it just, I didn't, Whitney did fine. I didn't feel Danny's part in this.
I didn't feel the intensity of the Argentine tango. It's one of my favorite dances because it's a dance of passion, lust more than love. Argentine tango is like the back alley dance in Buenos Aires. So, you know, it's very, I'm attracted to you and let's get out here and show each other how attracted we are. And I just didn't get that from him.
No, but like the scores say, he did everything right.
Yes,
I mean,
he did.
His movements were exactly what they needed
to be. It was the
be.
Atmosphere, the feeling
yeah,
I didn't
it
get.
It was the intention and his storytelling that just, yeah.
Yeah. Then Jen and Sasha came out and did a contemporary piece.
Dancing to Olivia Rodrigo's Vampire.
And her fear was things that pop out at you like a vampire, so that's why they chose that song. We gave her 8s. Carrie Ann gave her a 10. The boys gave her 9s.
Isn't Sasha the one that was always running around jump scaring people mm-hmm. on Halloween? Mm-hmm. He didn't do that too mm-hmm. much this season.
No. And I didn't feel Jen.
No, she's...
Carrie Ann was like, I felt you. I didn't feel it.
She's another one that, yeah, I think the movements are exactly what they're supposed to be, but the acting, the relaying of the story, mm-hmm.
There has to be a certain amount of tension in the dance to me. Most dances in some way or another, and I didn't feel that with her. I felt all the moves were right, but I just didn't feel the intent and the tension. Joey and Jen did an Argentine tango.
Dancing to Royston Murphy's Ramalama Bang Bang.
And his was of ventriloquism and dummies.
Jenna was the...
She was the dummy, and he was the ventriloquist. And we gave them 9s because that was a very cool concept that they kept up the whole dance, and I thought they did really well. Carrie Ann gave him a 10, Derek gave him a 9, and Bruno held up the 10 paddle for the first time this evening. Then Stephen and Riley came out and did their contemporary piece.
Dancing to Hidden Citizens, Iran, So Far Away.
And his fear was not being able to see because he can't without his glasses. And I know how he feels. He's like, you know, you take my glasses off and I can't see. You put bright lights in my eyes and not only can I not see, but it hurts. He said, I have bad eyes. So, of course, he's been dancing without his glasses on. So I'm like, oh, man. But anyway, we gave him 9s because of the different. Well, it was a different Stephen to me. It wasn't
right.
It wasn't the same Stephen we've been seeing week after week, which is somebody who's trying really, really hard and is getting most of the steps right, might be sometimes a little rushed or a little behind. But this was a different, he actually acted out the part he had, which was a lot like the fear that Dwight did, but a little less intense.
Well, he was
a monster of some sort. Like,
I thought he was a zombie.
Okay, he could have been a zombie. I didn't get really a zombie.
Trying to get Kyle.
But I got monster who went after Riley and eventually captured Riley.
Not Kylie. And I wonder if the difference for him was wearing the makeup.
It could be.
He was a part, and that allowed him to do it better.
But Carrion gave him a 10. The boys gave him 9s. And then we had Chandler and Brandon doing a Viennese waltz.
They are free from the dance-off.
Yes. But not vote-off.
They could be voted off, yeah. They danced to Denmark plus Winter's Secret.
And her fear was a creepy doll in her grandmother's house. And that's what she was. She was the creepy doll with a knife. And
a big-ass knife,
and too. She came out with the knife and she stuffed it in her pocket and she danced very nicely with Brandon. And at the very end, she pulled it back out and she killed him. Killed him dead. Yeah. I thought it was very good. I gave him a 9. You gave him a 9. Carrie Ann gave him a 9 because she said it wasn't perfect. She's seen imperfect all night long and gave 10s, yeah. But whatever. And the boys gave him 10s to make up for Carrie Ann just giving a 9. So that was the end of the first part of the dance competition.
She gave all the boys a 10. And only one of the girls a 10.
Okay. So now we have our dance-off. And dance-off is head-to-head, as we said, and the winner gets 3 points. And Dwight and Ilona were the team captains last week. So they were in the dance-off against each other doing a cha-cha-cha.
Dancing to Ray Parker Jr.'s Ghostbusters.
And Ilona looked fierce. I loved her outfit.
Her
she looked
outfit
fierce.
Was, yeah.
And Dwight had on fringy pants.
Yes.
So that was kind of cool. And after the end of the dance, Dwight and Daniela won. Boo.
Boo.
Then next out was Jen and Steven doing a salsa.
Dancing to Harry Belafonte's Jumpin' the Line.
Which is my favorite song from the Beetlejuice movie. And I thought they were rather even, actually. Jen had more technique, but Steven had more tricks in his salsa. And the judges decided to give it to Jen. And then Danny and Joey did the jive.
Dancing to the best Halloween song ever, The Time Warp, from who did this one? Little Neo, Patricia Quinn, and Richard O'Brien. So I think that might have been an actual recording, Richard O'Brien.
Might have been.
Yeah, I believe that was from the a recording, Patricia Quinn, a recording from the movie, I think, not from the original West End play.
Okay. And after it was all over, I really thought Danny should win, but Joey is the one who won. But I thought Danny did a better job. So, we have Dwight, Jen, and Joey getting the extra 3 points. So, we still have Ilona at the bottom of the leaderboard. And I do believe it was Dwight and Danny that were tied at the top. Or Dwight and Joey, I'm sorry, that were tied at the top. Anyway, we have Safe. Dwight and Daniela, Danny and Whitney, Joey and Jenna, Ilona and Alan, yes, Stephen and Riley, and then Chandler and Brandon, and we said goodbye to Jen and Sasha.
Okay.
Yeah.
Her or Dwight, probably.
Or love his heart, Stephen.
Stephen close in there too, the three of the, you know, so I mean, it's like, and now it's at the point that, well, I don't know, but somebody has to be voted off.
Mm-hmm.
Any one of these people, I would be okay with seeing compete in the finals.
Yeah.
Now. So it's like, it's unfortunate it's not you, but it has to be somebody.
Right.
Else, you know, so.
And they told us that they have a bye week, for those who are sports minded, for next week because of the election.
And then the next episode, episode 7 of season 33, is their official 500th episode. Not very many TV shows get to 500 episodes, I don't believe.
Nope. So, it's because they had 2 a year for
a
long time.
Well, I mean, think about it. Normally, I think it's anywhere from 20 to 25 episodes is a big season. Now, 10 episodes is a season. But a regular season, we'll say 2023. 10 seasons would be 230. 20 seasons would only be 460. You'd need another two more. So that'd be 22. Very few shows are on TV for 22 seasons. And here, you know, this is even their 33rd. So obviously, you know, you could do the math and see that they're not even working out 20 episodes a season. Mm-hmm. They're not averaging anymore. So that's whatever the ratings are, that's pretty impressive.
Which they have said at the beginning of each telling us safe and who goes home, that little section of the show, they have said every week that it's the highest voting percentage that the show has seen since the beginning.
Right.
That this season has got the most voting out there. And it makes me wonder if there's a robot out there voting. And
I wonder if they use that also to justify keeping the show going. I mean, because we know that there are people that vote and they don't watch an episode. They just know where to go to vote and they vote for their favorite and that's it. They never watch. But I wonder if that, with the people at ABC, if that also weighs in. Deciding.
Well, it has to, because they don't know if you're not watching or not.
Well, but I mean, you still have viewer numbers and you have all that kind of stuff and replays, and you have your DVR plus 3 and plus 5 and plus 7 that they can track. And I mean, they probably now they can get an even better idea of who is actually watching, or at least how many TVs it's running on. Again, there's no guarantee anybody's eyeballing it. Yeah, we could be in here eating dinner and in the living room have it running. I mean, so, but that's cool. 500 episodes. That's
one awesome. Thing we do know about next week. They let slip. Well, they didn't let slip. They actually told us. Apparently, there is going to be an occasion where each couple gets a song and a dance style and 5 minutes to come up with the dance.
It can't be something they haven't done before. It will have to be a style that they know.
You would think.
Because nobody is going to reliably teach a brand new dance in 5 minutes. That's impossible. So it's got to be something. Mm-hmm. But still, week one, we haven't done this for 2 months, and that's the style we got. Do you remember? No, I don't remember that. What? So, yeah. But yeah, that'll be interesting. Oh. Okay, come on. Mm-hmm. Got to go over here and figure out 40 seconds of dance or however long it takes.
Yeah, they didn't say how long the dance. They said they had 5 minutes to come up with it.
Probably two moves. That's it. And they just do it over and over.
Over and over and over.
Yeah, that's it.
So we're going to move on to Strictly, where it's also Halloween night for them. We have Tess and Claudia as our hostesses. We have Craig, Motsy, Shirley, and Anton as our judges. And stick Eddie Lee and Terry in on the beginning of that, and you'll get their scores. And the first couple out is Chris and Diane doing a samba as zombies.
It's a zomba.
It's a zombie.
Dancing to the Bee Gees' Staying Alive.
You gave him a 7. I gave him an 8. But then it went downhill for Craig, giving him a 5 and everybody else a 7. I didn't think it was that bad. He did have a lot of bounce, but then how many times do they complain about people having no bounce?
Right. They said he had too much.
It's like, do you want too much or do you want none?
Well, apparently both are equally as bad.
As bad, I guess. And then Pete and Uwita came out and did a Viennese waltz.
Wow, Pete.
And he was the Joker and she was Harley Quinn.
Yes, which she did a much Marvelous. Better job as Harley than he did as the Joker.
Oh, I thought they were pretty equal.
He wasn't bad, but she just was all over Harley Quinn, all over it. They danced to That's Life from Frank Sinatra.
We both gave them 8s. They got a 7 from Craig and 8s from everyone else. And it was Pete's best dance. And I liked his Joker. He played it perfect for me.
Really surprised he did this well in a Viennese waltz. Mm-hmm. It is so very far from his personality that he portrays.
And I think it's because he got to be the Joker during the Viennese waltz.
So he didn't do it. He was the Joker doing a Viennese
waltz. He channeled the
waltz.
Joker.
Yeah, so...
And I thought he played it perfectly. It wasn't a perfect Viennese waltz, but it was the way I envision the Joker and Harley Quinn doing a Viennese waltz.
Uwita needs to do Harley Quinn somewhere. She was, yeah.
Montel and Johannes did a cha-cha-cha, and they were voodoo doctors. Mm-hmm.
dancing to the Clover's rendition of Love Potion number 9.
And we gave him 9s, and everybody else gave him 9s, except for Anton. He gave him an 8.
I don't know.
I don't know what's up with Anton. Punim and Gorka did a tango, and they were pirates. Arr.
They were dead pirates.
Dead pirates.
Right? Yeah. Arr. Yeah, I'm not trying to diminish your R.
Arr.
It puts me in mind of Carolina Renfair. Mm-hmm. Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics is what they danced to.
We gave her 7s. Craig gave her 6. Motsi a 7. Shirley a 6. Anton a 7. So, yeah, 6-7. Yep. Wynn and Katja did a salsa, and they were devils.
Dancing to Jamiroquai's Canned Heat.
And we gave them 7s. They got a 7 from Craig, and everybody else gave them 8s. I thought an 8 was very generous. I thought 7s was about right.
Yeah.
I thought that this was his worst dance.
8 was pretty generous.
I really did. I thought this was his worst dance. And then JB and Amy did a foxtrot, and they were scarecrows.
Dancing to Top Loaders, Dancing in the Moonlight.
And you gave him an 8. I gave him a 7. Craig agreed with me. Motsi gave him a 9. And Shirley and Anton gave him 8s. Tasha and Alias did a samba as Frankenstein and his wife.
Dancing to Reel to Reels, I Love to Move It.
And you gave him an 8. I gave him a 9. They got 9s from everybody else except Anton, who gave them the 10. And I thought it was really good. I could have given her a 10. Shane and Nancy did one of my favorite dances, I do believe, of the evening, doing a paso doble, and he is the conductor.
He played Edvard Grieg, who is the composer of the song that they danced to in the Hall of the Mountain King.
Mm-hmm.
And
Nancy.
Nancy was the music. So he was directing her in an evil kind of way. He was like the ghost of or something like that. But I just thought that the concept was so clever for him to be the actual writer of the music, composer of the music, and she the I thought it was an excellent idea.
It was excellent. He had a baton, and he was directing her all around the floor. I saw his shapes, his paso shapes. I saw his paso knees. I thought it was really good. You gave him a 7. I gave him an 8. Craig and Motsi an 8. Shirley a 7. Anton an 8. But then Craig and Anton argued about the whole thing for days, about how it wasn't enough, but it was so creative, but it wasn't enough. Anyway.
Well, even Shirley said.
Yeah, I know.
Well, Craig liked that it was different.
Yes.
Anton and Shirley did not like that it was different.
They wanted a standard pasta.
Is what it boiled down to.
Jamie and Michelle came out and did an American Smooth, and they were Pugsley and Wednesday.
Dancing to the Addams Family theme from Vic Mizzy.
And you gave him a 9. I gave him an 8. Craig gave him a 9, Motsi and Shirley a 10, and Anton a 9. I don't think he's 10 worthy. I really don't.
No, I didn't either.
He wasn't 10 worthy last week either, and he got a 10. Now, Sarah and Vito came out and did, I think, my favorite dance of the evening, which was an Argentine tango, and they were, I'm guessing, vampires?
I think so.
Or he's the vampire and she's the poor, innocent victim of the vampire?
Vito was definitely a vampire.
Yeah.
She was dressed
all in white.
She was dressed more normally, I thought.
Yeah.
Like maybe did he snatch her from her bedroom at the beginning?
Mm-hmm.
So she was a sleeping regular person that maybe he had already bitten, and he entranced her and brought her out to the dance.
To do this dance.
Dancing to the Fugees, Ready or Not.
And we gave him 10s.
Yeah.
Craig gave him a 9, Motsi a 10, Shirley a 9, Anton a 10. It was really, really good. And then Sam and Nikita ended our evening up doing a jive as Brad and Janet.
Dancing to the best Halloween song of all time.
And you've heard that already before tonight.
The Time Warp from the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
You gave him a 9. I gave him an 8. Craig a 7. And the rest gave him 8s.
And then where was it? It was on Dancing with the Stars, one of the troupe dances that the Meatloaf song from Rocky Horror, they played it. Yeah, okay.
Now we have the vote-off show where we have Lady Blackbird is our musical guest.
Meatloaf. Did I say meatball?
Yeah, you did.
I'm sorry, Meatloaf.
You did. That's okay.
No, it's not. And he's not a meatball. He's Meatloaf.
We had a pro dance themed to Beetlejuice that Matt Flint choreographed. And that's it. Then we have our standard segue as we do. Safe. We have everybody come out and we say, Safe is Jamie and Michelle. Montel and Johannes, JB and Amy, who was not there because she apparently has a health issue that happened after the show.
Amy is not there. JB was.
Right. And Sarah and Vito, all safe. And in the dance-off, once again, Shane and Nancy. Then we have the dance debrief. We talk about how Shane...
Where Craig and Anton... Craig and Shirley, because they were sitting side by side, and Anton across the way... We're all arguing
about the Shane and his artistic versus and, be regular Paso. We talked about Pete doing so much better, and we talked about how everybody did really what good lifts, and they did. Everybody did really good lifts.
I thought all the dances, same with Dancing with the Stars, everybody was like a half a level or a level better than what they had been for tonight. It was
Well, Claudia told us that this is the highest scoring Halloween week ever. For the show, ever. And it's been on for a while, so there you go.
22 series. Mm-hmm. And that is one series a year, so not like ours.
And then we come back out and we say Safe is Sam and Nikita, Pete and Yuita, Tasha and Aliage, Chris and Diane, and Wynn and Katya, which puts Punam and Gorka in the bottom two. Then Lady Blackbird sings. It wasn't bad.
No, she was a jazz-ish singer.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't bad at all. Sometimes their music is a little suspect.
Yeah.
But it was okay. And they told us that next week, when they were doing the Claudatoriums, talking to the people who were safe, next week is Icons Week. It's the very first time they've had an Icons Week, and it's a musical icon that they had to choose. Okay. And she was talking to them about who they were going to be. Somebody's going to be Queen Freddie.
Going to be cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, after steering everybody one way,
So we have Shane and Nancy and Punam and Gorka do their dance again. They both did equally as well as they did the first time, if not better, because the pressure was a little bit off, you know.
Yeah.
And everybody unanimously agreed to keep Shane and Nancy because he is the better technical dancer than Punam.
Yes.
And I'm really sad to see Punam leave, but she had to leave eventually because she's not... technically as good as the others, but I've really enjoyed her journey, as they like to say on the show.
Yeah.
She's been really fun to watch. She seems like she's really enjoyed it. So
this show, it's not gotten quite as tight as dancing. There are still a third maybe of the people that it's like any one of them could go and it's okay still. We haven't gotten to the, well, nobody should go a stage yet. So, I mean, Dr. Punam, couple others, Chris, maybe Pete, you know, Wynn. But, you know, she had probably, definitely of those people left, I think she had the toughest road to get to where she was with her personal obligations and lack of experience and everything. So it all just finally
caught up with
her. Yeah, she plateaued and this was as far as she got about... What did they say? This was about halfway, right? Eight?
Yeah, all those who made it through made it halfway. So she almost made it halfway through.
What is it? Eight episodes, eight and nine. So there's only going to be 18 episodes. That seems a little bit shorter than normal. But okay. Yeah. So sorry, Dr. Punam. But, you know, how long will she be gone? Will she still come down every week to watch? Or we know she'll be there for the finale, probably
the group dance that they have.
The two-night finale. She'll probably be there for both nights. So she'll be gone a month. Mm-hmm. A little bit longer than a month, and she'll be back. All right. Next week, we do know that Chris and Diane are doing a tango. Jamie and Michelle a samba. JB and Amy, couple's choice. Although it's not Amy that is working the couple's choice. It's Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know, and I guess maybe they're planning that Amy won't be back next week, but they hope that she will be back the week after. So I guess the doctors or Amy or whoever said this week you need to rest. And mm-hmm. So yeah, it'll be JB and Lauren filling in for Amy, doing a couple's choice, which is too bad. After all the work this mm-hmm. season, for Amy to miss a couple's choice, that's, yeah. And I say that because probably what it will be is something just completely out of Amy's brain. Mm-hmm. Just, you can maybe call it contemporary, but it's not necessarily contemporary, but just whatever.
Couple's choice is not always contemporary. A lot of times it's show dance.
It can, yeah, well, show it tunes, can be whatever.
Like Broadway-esque.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, Montel and Johannes doing a waltz. That'll be, I'll be excited to see that. Pete and Yowita doing a salsa. Sam and Nikita and American Smooth. Sarah and Vito a cha-cha-cha. Shane and Nancy a quick step. Tasha and Aliash got the couple's choice also. So that'll be interesting to see what Aliash comes up for Tasha. And then a rumba from Win and Katja. I'm not so sure Win will be able to pull off a rumba. It's, yeah, wow. But we'll just have to wait and see. Yep. And so there we go. We're halfway through Strictly. A little more than halfway through Dancing with the Stars. We're halfway through Roller Jam. So, I don't know. I guess that's everything.
I'm done.
All right. If you guys want to get in touch, you can get at us on Twitter, Dance Fever, one word, Dance Fever. Teal Productions on Blue Sky, if you have migrated over there to escape the supposed cesspool that Twitter is. I don't see it, but Teal Productions as in the color, teal. DanceFever@gmail.com is the email address, and DeliberateNoise.com/DanceFever is the website.
But don't forget, Fever is always F-E-V-R-E when you want to get in touch with us.
And so, with all that, we will see you guys next week.
Bye.